anyone with a word this morning, just wait on the Lord for a moment. Can we just remain standing just for this time?
Hallo julle almal. Ek kom nie gewoonlik vorentoe om dit vreemd te gaan, maar vanoggend het ek net gevoel dat ek vir julle moet sê, God sê, ons het soveel om voor dankbaar te wees. My klein sientjie word volgende week 7 en toe ons hier begin het, by show vir ons huis gemaak het, was hy 'n klein babietjie. En ek het net die laaste paar jaar gesien hoe mense se lewens verander, hoe mense geseën word en heel raak. En ons het baie om voor dankbaar te wees.
I want to encourage the church that it feels heavy to me when I come to church. I don't want to dance anymore like I used to when I came into church. And I don't feel that everyone's dancing anymore like we used to dance. But I really feel that the Spirit is turning the eyes of the church back to the lover of our soul. And my heart resonates with what the worship team shared last week, that we have to move. We have to start moving, even if you just move your feet to the side, even if you just move out of where you're standing. But God is moving His church back. He's moving our focus back onto Him. And as we see Him, we will begin to dance. As you see the love of your soul, you will start to move again. And while in the worship, I saw the church, everyone standing so far apart. And it's like the enemy is coming and he's walking between everyone and he's just carrying a thread. And he's binding everyone just with a piece of thread. And as he's moving, because there's so much these gaps between us, we're just standing there and we're allowing him to bind us with these lies. And what we sang just now, that he's stronger, God is stronger and he lives in us and he's stronger. He's stronger than the power of the enemy, he's stronger than any lie. And he has broken sin. The power of sin is broken. And sin is not only adultery. Sin is sickness. Sin is poverty. Sin is lack of any kind. Sin is anything that is not on the mark of Jesus Christ. That's why you can never, ever attain to Jesus through your own works. It's by grace that you are saved through faith in Jesus. And it's as we look unto Jesus. So my heart is encouraged by the Holy Spirit that the church is moving back to that place where we will sing and dance, where the young and the old will dance together in this house, because God says that shofar is a house of rejoicing and dancing. That is the banner that He has raised over us. We are a rejoicing church. We are a church that sings because of the love of the Savior that lives in us.
As we were worshipping, I just saw a picture of like this very tall flower, and it was wilted. It was like hanging down. It was actually ugly. And as it looked up, and as we worshipped, it actually became tall again and beautiful and strong. And I really believe it's like the words came out. If we look unto God and we worship Him, we will become beautiful again. We will be His crown of glory. We will shine and we will be full of strength.
Yeah, just all these pictures being painted now by the words is on the celebration and thankfulness, and Louis' word through the whole set, even though I went out in 1 second, but just through everything, I just felt exactly what Louis was saying. And I think it's tough, but we become so quickly programmed that, for example, if the words aren't in sync on the screen, we can't worship. If someone plays a wrong note there, you know, we get distracted. And I'm including myself in this also. And I just want to agree with Louis on that. I think our worship should be more focused on the Spirit moving us than whether or not we get the words right. If Robert decided in the middle of the set to sing something completely different as he felt the Lord lead us, would that distract us or would we just flow with Him, whether we know the words or not? And that, yeah, I'm just really being burdened by joy in the house of the Lord. I mean, you know, when I get so programmed, we come and we come to get it done, just to tick that box and went to church on Sunday, but are we actually enjoying being in His presence and lifting our voices to Him?
Yes, God, we want to just declare, Lord God, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, Lord. And God, this morning, Jesus, we exalt You, Lord God, over this place. We exalt Your name, the name above every other name. we exalt over this place, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our worship, God, and we worship you this morning, God. And we, Lord God, we repent, God, of having idols before you, God. And we just ask you to forgive us, God, and we just declare and we decree that there's only one God in our heart, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you and we welcome you, Lord, in our hearts. And we say we love you so much, God. We love you so much, God. Thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that we will be dancing again, God. We will be dancing and singing and rejoicing, Lord. And God, where the women were singing the songs, singing that Saul had killed thousands, and that, but David killed 10,000, Lord. And I thank you, God, that you're raising up a mighty men, God, that will cause the women to sing the songs of the Lord again, Lord God. And that we will sing before the altar in the presence of God. We will dance before you, God. Because you are worthy. You are worthy of our praise, of our singing, our clapping, God. You are worthy of our lives, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. This morning was very special. Every song that you chose was a section of my sermon. And so I'm like, yeah, that's awesome when God speaks. And God, the prophetic word of God is so awesome. That word, Louis, is so true. But it's difficult to rejoice and to sing when things are really going bad in your life. When, you know, when people are talking against you and you just feel so inferior and you feel everything is going wrong. And in your own house, you're going through hell. And then people I work with, like, start speaking against you, and people that you love start speaking against you, and then people start dying around you, and it's tough to dance and to rejoice in the Lord. And when your child is sick and your father dies and people just die around you, it's tough to sing to the Lord and to rejoice in the Lord, because that is who our church is. We are a rejoicing church, and we have so much to be thankful for. And this year there was a turning point for me and my wife, where my wife's weakness, I would say, is fear. And I would always say, yeah, come, I'm fighting. And then I experienced a time where I thought I was going to die. And instead of Lynette and I praying, we fought for 4 hours. And then I just said, I've had enough. And I just took my stuff, my water and my shofar, and I walked up Helleberg Mountain. And I just prayed, God help, God help, God help. And you say God help quite a number of times when you walk up Helleberg Mountain, 8 o'clock at night. But that's all I could pray. And then I stood there on top, and I prayed a few times, God help. And I blew on that shofar, and then I started doing something stupid. And as I did it, I thought, yes, Theo, what are you doing? But I proclaimed the goodness of God over Somerset West Strand, Gordon's Bay, and I declared that this place will belong to Jesus. And afterwards I'm thinking, what did you do now? You're afraid on the one side, and then this thing comes. And then that next morning I woke up, or my wife woke me up at 7:30. I came home 2 o'clock that morning, and she said to me, Theo, let's pray. I said, come leave ons bed. And we started praying. Everything didn't change then. But everything did change then, because we started praying, and we started seeking God, and we started praying, and we started praying. We came together, and every time Tanya Amanda comes to us, I told you guys must pray, you must pray. And I said, Amanda, I know, but you know that you must pray. So she's been on my case about praying, and I have a heart to pray. I believe God has called us to pray. And the more I'm praying, the more I'm starting to see things in a different way. The more I'm starting to connect with God, the more God is opening my spiritual eyes. My wife is not here. Can you keep a secret? You mustn't tell her. If you tell her, I know you can't keep secrets. But my wife came to me the other morning, early in the morning. She woke up at 4 o'clock. And she said she was just spending time with God. And then God spoke to her something very special for us men. Awesome things that God told her to a present that she had to give me. So I want to say to the men, pray. There's much blessings in praying. And all I could say was, Dankie, Here. It was amazing. God is really faithful. I'm not going to put too much pressure on it, but God gives emphasis on it. But God wants to bless us. But it starts from a place of prayer. And, you know, there was this awesome couple recently that is going through a tough time in their marriage. And I want to say that I know many of you are going through a very tough time in your marriage at this moment, but you just don't want to say it. But I know you are. But God is faithful. But this couple have a calling to redeem marriages. I know that. And they said to me, they've been taking strain, tremendous strain, and they've done all the courses. They've done many, many courses, but they take the strain. And I said to them, are you praying? Are you praying more than 3 minutes a day? No, no, we're not doing that. You must pray. When you start praying, in 2 months' time, your marriage will be completely restored. Do you believe me? I said, you must pray. And my message this morning, and I just felt God saying to me, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear your prayers, I will forgive your sins, and I will heal your land. And then I spoke to Henny, and Henny said, you know, this is not a promise for people, but it was for Israel. But the promise for Israel is applicable to us as the church as well. And I this morning, I want to say to you, we must pray. God is calling us to pray. All of us. Not some of us. All of us must pray. The days of doing a skietgebek is finished. We cannot pray prayers like that anymore. It won't work. We must learn to meet with God, to seek God, to know God. We must really learn to pray and to hear God's voice and to be obedient to the voice that God is speaking to us. Now Solomon, God spoke to Solomon when he shared that that piece of scripture, portion of scripture. But Solomon was the son of King David with Bathsheba. David saw her. He called for her. He probably forced himself on her. She got pregnant. He called for her husband to come. He wouldn't go to his wife because he was too loyal to David. Then he sent him into the battlefield so that he can get killed, that people will not know of this terrible sin that he had done. That baby died, but he married her, and the next child was King Solomon. Now King Solomon was a man of God after his own heart, and he really wanted to serve God the way that his father did. And one night in a dream, God appeared to him and he said to him, ask me anything. What do you want? And he said, God, I want wisdom and understanding to rule your people like my father David had done. And God said, because you have not asked me for riches and for wealth and for the nice car and for the big house and the big paycheck, I'm going to give you all those things and I'll give you wisdom and understanding too. And then he was very blessed. Many people came to him and he grew. But his heart was to fulfill the promise that David could not do, to build a temple for God, because there was so much bloodshed on David's, on King David's hands. So they started building this temple. Many people came to help. Many slaves helped. But this temple was erected. And they brought all the furnishing into the temple. All the priests consecrated themselves, dedicated themselves to the Lord. And they brought in the Ark of the Covenant into the temple. And as they brought in the Ark of the Covenant, they were singing and making music and dancing in unison. And the presence of God came so powerfully upon them that the priests couldn't move because of the glory of God that was there. Now, when Joe Neiman said the other day, people talk about the presence of God, but that God's presence is everywhere. It's true what he's saying. But there's also a manifested presence of God that none of us really know. We don't understand it. It's a presence where you can't move because of the presence of God. It's hectic. So I'm going to just share a few stories where this happens with people. But now Solomon, God appears to him in this massive dream. He gives him everything. And in Kings, it says that Solomon loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. But he was walking in the statues of his father, except that he sacrificed and burnt incense at the high places. So he loved God, but he had this thing on the sideline that he still did that wasn't the right thing to do. And as you read through Kings and Chronicles, you see the people were serving God, but that on the sideline, they had this thing that they did that wasn't acceptable to the Lord. And it says they, the people were still sacrificing at high places because this God's house wasn't built. So after he built this house and God's presence is there, God's glory come upon the house of God, Solomon stands and he dedicates the temple to the people. He blessed them and then he prays this prayer for almost a whole chapter of the Bible. He prays this powerful prayer. And when he had finished praying that prayer, the fire of God came and devoured the sacrifice and the altar that was on that. I want to ask you, have you ever prayed a prayer like that, where the fire of God came powerfully like that? So I'm going to put my faith out and I want to ask 3 volunteers. And if you're not going to come, I want to demonstrate the fire of God. I'm just joking. I don't want you to be devoured, Johan. But I love you, brother. But, you know, when we talk about the fire of God, when the presence of God is there, there was in 1949 a revival in the Hebrides Islands. And this revival has been going. And at this one town, Arnold, it was a very hardened. People were resisting God. They didn't want to surrender to God. And this man, Duncan Campbell, he's been preaching a lot. And many people got saved through his ministry on these islands during this revival. And he came to this church, no one responded, and then he asked them to pray. And this man stood up, he was a goldsmith, and he prayed. He said, God, you've made me a promise. God, you promised me that you will bring water to the thirsty and pour out water on the dry lands. God, I don't know how other people stand before you, and I don't know how this minister stands before you, but you have told me that you will pour out your spirit here. Oh God, I'm hungry for the manifestation of the man on your right-hand side. And God, before I sit, you've made me a promise that you will pour out your spirit on this place. And then he went to go and sit, and an earthquake came, and cups and things started falling off the shelves, and everything was trembling like this. And they walked outside, and they saw that the whole town was shaking like this, and everybody in the town got saved. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that, where you stand up? You must really know God to be able to pray a prayer like that, to know and say, God, you've made me a promise. Now I stand you to your promise. And I want to tell you that your name is at stake. And to sit like that. And that this is a place of powerful prayer, that God wants us to come to a place where we pray powerfully before God. Now, when Solomon prayed this prayer and the fire came from the top, and it devoured everything. That night in a dream, God appears to Solomon for a second time. And he says to Solomon, he says to him, Solomon, I've heard your prayer. I've chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. So now God got all his attention. So it's one of those places you can ask whatever you want. And then God says to him, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear your prayers. I will forgive your sin, and I will heal your land. And I don't know if any of you are programmers here, but Johan, you know if-then statement. It's if you meet these conditions, then these things will happen. This is pretty much like that. But God's saying in James that if you are suffering, pray. If you are sick, go to the elders, let them pray for you. Because we are God's people, and if you are here, you are called by God. God's heart is for us, for His people. God says in the Word that the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. We must pray to the God of the harvest to release the harvesters, that the harvest can come in. God's heart is for all people to get saved, for all of us. And He's saying to all of us, if we will come and call upon His name. Romans 10 verse 1 says, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for them that they may be saved. My heart's desire and my prayer is for them to be saved. God's heart is for all people. God loves people and He wants His people to pray. 1 Thessalonians says we must pray without ceasing. We must give thanks in all circumstances. This is a place of praying all the time. It says if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and, you know, at the Art van die Saak, where we live in a town that you are probably in pride. I'm talking about myself, all of us, we have pride in somehow. We all judge people and we look at people in different ways. If you are living in the Strand, we would look down at you. I'm just joking to the guys in the Strand. Maybe if someone is, if you're in grade 9 and that person is in grade 7, you look down at that person too. Maybe it's a different culture, different skin color. We all have prejudices and we all think that only certain people I want to talk to. And this is pride. And God wants us to repent of pride. We must repent of pride. We must humble ourselves before God. Because God resists the proud and He gives grace to the humble, He says in James. In Proverbs says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. 1 Peter 5 says, we must clothe ourselves with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So this is a place for us, church, that we must humble ourselves and be open that God can speak to you through a donkey. If you're taking strain and you sit there and you don't want to respond to an altar call, I want to be bold to say to you that is pride. It's not fear. Fear, pride is also that thing where it's poor me. I'm going through this thing again. I can't believe they are treating me that way. That is pride. And God says we must humble ourselves. We must humble ourselves before God. We must come on our knees and say, God, I exalt you, Lord God. I exalt you. It's not about the world out there, but it's about a place, an attitude of the heart. You know, when you meet people at the street, Pastor Fred shared the testimony of a man. The man was on the street, and God gave him a word, it is pride in your heart. And he said it to him, and he said, how can you say pride for me? Look where I am. But it was pride that forced him to go out on the street, and he ended up on the street because of pride in his heart. And I want to say to you, when the scripture says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. You meet many people that have been up there and they think they are better than other people. But be careful lest you fall. Humble yourself and pray. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious, but pray. Come before God and pray. Mark 11 says that my house will be called the house of prayer for all the nations. All of us are called to pray. There's not a gift as an intercession in the Bible. We all are called to pray. All of us. My house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations. 1 Timothy says 2 verse 8, I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. It's a nice step for us. When we pray, we mustn't be angry and quarrel with one another. James 5 says that the prayer of the righteous has great power in it. Jeremiah, pastor from Numzamu, says, prayer has got too much power. Prayer has got too much power when we pray. When you pray, the most powerful person on this earth is the man whose prayers are being answered. Reinhard Bonnke said that. He's a man that leads people to Christ, and 1 million people respond to the gospel at a meeting. God answers his prayers. Romans 12 says we must be constant in prayer. Then it says we must seek God's face. In Matthew 7 says, ask and you will get. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened for you. Everyone who asks will get. Everyone who seeks will find. Everyone who knocks, it will be opened to him. This is a place where we seek God. Not for what he can give to us, but seek God for who God is. God wants to give us all these wonderful things, but He doesn't want us to seek Him because of the things that He can give to us. He wants us to seek Him because of who He is. And God wants us to surrender completely in that place, to seek God with everything we have. I listened to a sermon of Bruce Wilkinson. I actually want to play it here, but it will freak all of you out. But this man just took it. The sermon is called Anguish. And he talks about anguish where he cried for New York. He cried. He walked in the streets and he cried. And he said, God, these people are going to hell. And he led a man called Nicky Cruz to the Lord. And he came to Nicky Cruz. And Nicky Cruz punched him in the face. And he said, who are you to talk to me about God? And Nikki and David Wilkinson stood up and said, "But Nikki, God loves you." But he's been praying for this man. And he said, "What do you talk about love?" And then he looked around him and all his gang members were on the floor crying before God. And he gave his heart to God. Now, Nikki Cruz became an evangelist for the Lord. He led many people to the Lord. But a man that cried, that anguish, that seek God's face in everything he did. And many lives got changed because of a man seeking the heart of God, who's seeking to know God. Then it says we must turn from our wicked ways. We must repent. And the key here is repentance. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one here that can say, "I don't have any sin." Acts 8 verse 22 says, "Repent therefore of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you." So there is a place that we come before God and say, "Lord, and you know what sin is. You cannot solve your own sin. It's impossible. Don't even try. You will not get it right. If you have a desire to do things, you probably need deliverance from that. But God is faithful. He will deliver all of us. But we need to pray. We need to come into His presence. In the presence of the Lord, there is freedom. So if we, who are called by His name, will humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways or repent from our ways, God says, then I will hear your prayers. I will hear your prayers. Mark 11 says, Jesus says, "Whatever you ask in prayer, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it and it will be yours." Who of you have prayed a prayer and it's not been answered? Donnie? But Jesus says, whatever you ask, if you believe, it will be yours. Whatever we ask in prayer, it will be given to us. Then Matthew 21, 21 and 22 says, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and you do not doubt, whatever you ask, you will receive if you have faith." Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith comes by spending time with God. Faith comes by building our faith and asking God. It's a place, it's a relationship with God. That's where faith comes from. So that we come to a place that whatever we ask, if that person is blind, they will see. The deaf will hear. The people with leprosy will be cleansed. The dead will be raised. Whatever we ask, those with demonic oppression will be set free. Whatever need you have, you will never be hungry. You will be in a place of walking in the fullness of God. The loved ones that do not know God, all these things are promises that God has given to us. And He says, "Whatever we ask, I will give to you if you have faith." That we can have boldness to ask God anything because He wants to give these things to us. But we must believe, not doubt, in the goodness of God. And that place comes from spending time with God. Spending time in the presence with God, praying, seeking God's face, praying all the time. You know, Smith Wigglesworth prayed when his wife died, and she said to him, "Smith, please, let me go. I'm tired." God says, "It's fine, I must come home." Because he wouldn't let her go. He prayed for his wife, and she was raised from the dead. He prayed for a neighbor that died. But he said, "That man can't go because he will go to hell." And he prayed for that man. That man got raised up and he prayed for him so that the man can get saved. He prayed for 9 people that were raised from the dead. But we don't hear those stories, so our faith doesn't get encouraged. When people respond with an altar call or they come and give their testimony, your faith rises because you know if that God can do it for that person, He can certainly do it for me. Because God says, whatever we ask in prayer, if we believe and do not doubt, He will give that to us. Then He says, "I will forgive your sin." God says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us all our unrighteousness, or to forgive us all our sin and to heal us of all our unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we are a liar and the word of God is not in us. So none of us can say we don't have sin. If we do say that, you're a liar and the word of God is not in you. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is why we have to repent. There's deception in that area that you say, "I don't have sin because Jesus paid the price for me." That's deception. If you say that or think that the Bible says, you're a liar. that's why we confess our sin. We come before God. God, forgive me. I have done this thing. And the more we do it, the more we become in right standing with God. This is why God says we must pray all the time. God says He wants to heal our land. The land, it's the country, but it's also our lives. It's our families. It is our neighborhood. It's our church. God wants to heal this land. He wants to heal us. 1 Timothy says that, I urge that supplication, praise, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. For all people, for kings, for those in high positions, that we may live a peaceful and a quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. So God wants us to pray for our leaders. Romans 13 says that all leaders are appointed by God. All leaders. Even our leaders who sacrifice cows to the forefather spirits, those people are appointed by God in that place. When Paul wrote this, Caesar, the Caesar in control of the country, was Nero. He was the man that put men, Christians, on poles and put a tar on them and put them a light. He says, now you want to be the light of the world. There you are now the light to this world. This is and he wrote and says, we must submit to these leadership that we have. So we get the leaders that we pray for. If we pray for our country, God can restore the leaders. Now, don't pray that the leaders be removed. We pray that God meet the leaders. God's heart is for all people. God, it doesn't matter if you're in witchcraft or wherever you are. God loves people tremendously. He wants people to be saved. Now, this Hebrides revival of 1947 was on the coast of Scotland. And there was these people that they decided to pray 3 nights a week, the whole night. And they came together with this pastor and they prayed. And then there was these 7 men that separated themselves in a barn. They were praying that night. And the one man read Psalm 24. And I believe at this time Psalm 24 is what God is saying to us. But it says, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. And when he read that, all the men realized, but they have sin in their hearts. And they fell on the ground and they repented and they prayed and they said, we are hypocrites, God. We pray for you to come in, but we are unholy in our hearts. And at that moment, something in the spirit changed. And there was these two older ladies, Peggy Smith and her sister Christine. Peggy was 84 years old and she was blind. And Christine was full of arthritis. He was 82 years old. And they prayed. And when that happened, 4 miles away on the other side of this island, they started seeing visions of churches being filled. And God spoke to them and said that they must invite Duncan Campbell to come to the town. So they went to the pastor, says, God says we must invite Duncan Campbell to this town. And they sent him a telegram and he responded, sorry, I'm busy for the next 6 months. And Peggy said, that is what man is saying. But God says he'll be here in 2 weeks' time. 10 days later, very pale in the face, he came off the boat, seasick. And as he came off the boat, one elder said to him, sir, do you know God? And he was like thrown by this and he says, because he's not a revival preacher. And he says, I certainly hope so. And then that night, he did his first sermon. And there was about 300 people. Not many people responded. He prayed. And then people started going home. And then the group that organized this says, we must pray. And then this one man stood up again praying, God, you're a covenant-keeping God. You promised us a revival. Now we ask you, God. And then as they finished praying, the one man said, they heard a knock. And he says, there's about 700 to 700 people standing outside. There were 700 people standing outside of this church. People were dancing in the pubs when they had this conviction of God came over them. And they started coming to the church. Some girl was just crying, says, God, have mercy on me. God, have mercy on me. Forgive my sins. Forgive my sins. And people started coming in. One woman was working behind the pig stalls when the presence of God came so powerfully upon her that she just started crying. You see, they found her there crying and repenting to God. And she gave her heart to the Lord. These other men were drinking beer And as they were drinking beer, the one man said, "So what do you think about God?" And then they all started crying and repenting and gave their hearts to the Lord. People would be on boats and they would sail fisher boats and they would come past this island. And the conviction of God would come so powerfully upon them that they started crying and surrendering to God, just giving their hearts to the Lord. People who didn't want anything to do with God would come off the boat there, and then the next moment they will just get saved. Duncan Campbell himself said 75% of the people that he led to the Lord, came there already knowing that they wanted to give their hearts to the Lord. The Holy Spirit supernaturally just touched them, and they knew they needed God. The Spirit and the presence, the manifest presence of God was there because the people started praying. I listened to this clip of people that in the 90s that was part of that revival in the Hebrides Island, and they all say this lady is like 90 years old, but she's like a little girl talking about the presence of God and how they would sing songs to the Lord and how the God would supernaturally give them songs with melodies that they would sing. They didn't write it down, but they all knew the songs because it was all inspired by the presence of God. That God changed lives. People repented. Powerful working of God's Spirit that came because of the presence of God. And this is what my heart's desire is, to see God's presence in such a powerful way, because the bars were empty. No one went to bars anymore. People just in the streets would ask one another, "Have you made right with God yet? Have you made right with God yet?" People were just so full of God because God was tangible to them. Now, bringing you back to Solomon, he was God comes and he says, "If my people were called by my name," and now God says to him, "My ears are attentive to your prayers that you've made in this place." And God says, "Solomon, if you do my commandments and keep my statutes and do the things that I've called you, if you read the word, in other words, and if you pray and you surrender to me and you become a doer of the word, I will bless you and I will establish your kingdom. If you don't do it, you'll be cursed and you'll be removed. And your people will be removed and put into exile." Now, if you read the Bible a little bit, unfortunately, that's what happened with Solomon. That thing, that high places, became too much for him. And there was this queen of Sheba that came there, and she brought him all this gold. And like us men do, we fall for a girl. That's the weakness of many men, most men, all men, if it's not by the grace of God. And he gave her whatever she desired. And then he started getting married to all these different women. And he started worshipping gods like Asherah and Milcho. He was the god of the underworld. And Molech, which this god, they sacrificed their children on this god. They would take their children and put them in the fire for worship unto this god. This is where Solomon ended up. Because he didn't sort out his heart. God appeared powerfully to him. When he prayed, the fire of God came down and devoured sacrifices. He knew God, yet he fell into such a bad place that he fell into idolatry like that, where they would sacrifice children to the altars. So for all of us, we must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't think we are there lest you fall. This is a place of the presence of God that we must really seek God's presence. And the sad thing about what Solomon did, his son Rehoboam, the kingdom was divided in two, and the Israelites, they did evil in the sight of God. They did all these terrible sins, sacrifice of children, sexual immorality, terrible things that they've done, and they were taken into exile. The other side, they served God, but they still had the high places, and then slowly they deteriorated where they did evil in the sight of God. And there was two kings, Hezekiah and Uzziah, that broke down all those things, but the sin just was too much, and it became overbearing, and the people started falling, deteriorating there. And this is where we are at the moment. We are in a terrible place, terrible sin. We talk about witchcraft and Harry Potter, and people are like, "What? That's fine. Why are you so upset about this thing?" It's an abomination before God. We watch pornography, and it's like having sex in the internet. It's actually what is happening in our spirit. We are connecting on a sexual level with these people. So we are in exactly the same place before these people got taken out into idolatry. And I want to say to you, there's a world that we see, but there's a spiritual world as well. And we do not see the spiritual world, but the more I'm praying, the more the spiritual world is starting to open up to me, and the more I realize it's a bad place out there. God says in Ephesians 6, we must put on our whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against Satan, that we may be able to stand. Doesn't say that because that we can stand, because Satan is not something that we can take up lightly. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. There's a spiritual hierarchy of Satan. In Revelations it says that Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and they were one and they were cast out. So there's wars that take place in this world that we don't understand. There's angels that appear. In Genesis 6, it talks about these angels that came down, the sons of man, that came down, and they had intercourse with the women of man, and they had children, which were the giants of old. Now, there are people that, and when you talk about Goliath, he wasn't a big man, he was massive. He was 4 meters tall, I think. He was a real giant. He was huge people. But we're not hearing about these things in this world. We see angels coming to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. We see Jacob, where the angels come up and down this ladder, and he communicates with these angels. In Job, all the angels stands before God, and God is saying to Satan, "Shh, have you seen Job? Of all the things they can speak about the universe, God chooses to speak about us, because we are so awesome to God. God really loves us as people." But then when Satan goes out to destroy everything of Job, he used lightning, he used fire, there's storms that come. So Satan is not like liggewig speelgoedjies nie. He's a powerful being. He's a very powerful being, and he's got powerful beings that are with him. And we must understand that there are demons that can oppress us, and it will cause us to have sin, and you might struggle with lust, and you go like, "Oh, that's demonic, you need to solve it." But then there's also principalities out there that rule territories, and they are massive. They are huge, huge things. You know, these angels, there was one angel of God that came, and he destroyed 185,000 soldiers of the Assyrian army. One angel in one night. He destroyed all of them. The angel of the Lord came in Exodus, and he destroyed all the firstborn of the people. People are defenseless against these principal or these angels of God. Daniel prays. 20 days later, this angel of Gabriel comes, and he says, "I've been fighting against the prince of Persia, but then the angel Gabriel came, Michael came to help me, and we're going back to fight against the prince of Greece. So they are very powerful demonic entities in this world that we have to be aware of, and that we cannot be ignorant of it. When you read Acts, there's beasts that come out of the water, and beasts that come out of the bottomless pit, and there's demons, and there's angels, and there's angels tipping over stuff, and it's there's these guys on horses, different color horses, and terrible things happens where a third of the world gets destroyed, and there's terrible things out there. So there's a spiritual world, and if you want to know what it looks like, watch the X-Men, people mutating, people shape-shifting. And I've been reading a few books about witchcraft and that, and there are people, there's a guy that said, "No, I can go in and become an alligator." I've spoken to a few Kosa people, and they all said to me, before a Shangoma becomes a Shangoma, they spend 3 weeks underwater, not in and out of the water, they're underwater. So we as Christians must wake up. There's a spiritual world, and it is real. This Snowden guy, what is his name? Anyway, the man that leaked the information. Apparently, some of the information states that there are UFO sightings, and the government is aware of it. But the UFO sightings and the aliens are not from out there. They're from underneath the earth, and they are preparing this world for an intake of these things. So Ephesians 6 says, "Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all saints." And our protection. And you know, whenever I hear and read stories, whenever one of these people that get saved, when they meet Jesus, it's like, oh, just the power of Jesus. The demons believe, yet they tremble. All these mighty entities are so afraid of Jesus. And our protection, Psalm 91, is the shelter of the Most High. That is our protection, being in Christ. It's being in that place. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall upon you. No plague come near your tent. For God will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. God commands His angels to protect us. I know of a dominie in the Eastern Cape, in Transkei, and he was away and his wife was by herself, and she heard people on the outside and she started praying. She was very afraid, and that night she felt breakthrough and she got a dream of these powerful angels that stood in a circle around their house. And the next morning they could see on the grass how the footsteps came to a certain place like this, but it couldn't come through in a circle right around her house. There's another lady that also a Christian lady. She was very afraid, and in her house it was in the time when there was terrorist attacks, and these terrorists came, they wanted to attack this house, and this lady's husband said to her, just stay in the passageway, and she went there and they just prayed, and she prayed and prayed. And these people that tried to attack her later on said that they saw the angels on their house and they were too afraid to come inside. Now, I've read Rebecca Brown, maybe don't read that book, but the Satanist lady testifies as well that they tried to astral project into houses and they would come there and these powerful angels would stand around the house. They couldn't enter. And then they were afraid of them. And all the people who astral project and who are in the occult, they all say they are afraid of the Christians. But they know that the Christians don't know what power they have. So they just move around them. Because they know if they take authority, then it will be over for them. But then the hypocrites, they can see they've got long necks. They know who the hypocrites are. And this is when we have sin in our life. And this is why it's important that we repent and pray and say, God, forgive us our sins. Because we cannot solve it, but God can do these things for us. I read another thing of a person who was, he interviewed many people who were in the occult. And they all talked about when they astral project to come to meetings of all these satanic forces together. And many people that we might know go there as well. They would see these huge, powerful angels standing there. They didn't do anything. It's because the people are not praying. Because the people pray, or if the angels react when the people are starting to pray, when they start understanding what the authority is that God has given us, then they can react. When Daniel was praying, 21 days later, the angel appeared. But he says, we heard you when you prayed, only 21 days later. So we must constant pray, ask God, speak to God, know who God is, know who our God is, how big He is. Know that the victory was done on the cross 2,000 years ago, and we proclaim this victory. Say, thank you, Jesus, that you've paid the price. Thank you that we have overcome. We are more than overcomers in Christ Jesus, and we can speak healing, and we can speak life over this place because of what Jesus has done on the cross. But God is calling us to pray. He's calling us to stand up and to start praying. Because we're not praying, people get taken out like this. Because we're not standing together. We're not praying. We are not praying together. That general butt naked story, that was so amazing when he said that Christians started praying for them. And God showed him. He said, that man, I want you to pray for him. And the man walked into his place and he said to him, Jesus loves you. And he was so thrown by this. And he said, say amen. And he said, amen. When we agree in the spirit, something very powerful happens. If you say amen, something, your faith gets stirred. Amen. Verse 14 says, because he holds fast to me in love, God says, I will deliver you. God says, I will protect you because you know my name. When you call upon me, God says, I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will rescue you and I will honor you. And God says, with long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Don't be afraid that you're going to die early. That's from the devil. He's accusing you. He's telling you lies. Last week I shared some things in my sermon and I knew, no, the shots are going to come. And it did. And then Lynette and I just spent like 3 hours praying. And that was the breakthrough. The prayer. We would just come and pray. And if you don't know how to pray, I just want to say something. If you're ever afraid, just go and read Revelation 19. Whenever I've done deliverance, when you read Revelation 19 about a rider on a white horse with his robe dipped in blood, with a sword coming from his mouth, and his name is faithful and just, you see just how they run. They are afraid. They are afraid of Jesus. They are afraid of Jesus because he was the perfect lamb. He was the perfect sacrifice. You know, this guy, Mark Bredenkamp, he's a pastor in Gauteng. The Satanists wanted to kill him. And this one girl was asked to destroy his life, but she couldn't get to him because of the protection of God that was on her life. And she was so afraid, but she had to go into a church meeting to come and do it. But then she found his son, and she lured him into the bathroom. And she spoke to the demons that was controlling her, and they said, no, you must go for the husband. And then she said, but I can't get to him, or for the father. But and then it's, okay, you can take him. And she took the knife like this, and then he saw her, and he started quoting Scripture, Ephesians 6. She started quoting, and she goes like, stop, stop, stop. And she can't move her hand with a knife to his, but she can't do anything. And she's just standing there because of the presence of God. And the Holy Spirit speaks to Mark Bredenkamp, and he says to him, your son has been captured by Satanists, but trust me. And he does the altar call, and people get saved, and he prays for people, and now he goes outside, and they lead that girl to Christ, and she's a born-again Christian, and she's sharing of the terrible things that she has gone through. Her church was a Christian church, and then when people leave, they will take the pulpit and turn it around, and it will be an altar, and they would sacrifice a person on it. There's power in them for sacrificing blood, human blood. Church, we must pray. We must pray. I'm not wanting to frighten you, but if you want to ask me, how do you pray? Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray and we make the name of God great. That's how we start praying. We just exalt God's name and we praise Him and we make His name great and we tell God how big He is and who He is and what His name means, and that He's the God that saves, He's the God that delivers, He's the God that brings peace, He's the God that heals, He's the God that protects, He's the God that provides. And we call upon His name and we call on who God is, and we say the purposes of God. Let your purpose be done in my life, God. Let your will be done in my life. And we pray that we can know what God's will is for my life, not my will, and we use God to go there. That causes you to walk a little bit out of the covering of God. And then we pray for provision. God, give me money. We can ask God for money. We can ask Him for food. We can ask Him all these things that we want. You can even ask God for a car. You can ask Him for a 4x4. If He's going to give it to you, I'm not sure, but we can ask Him. We must ask. He says, ask and I will give it to you. Then pardon. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, God. I sinned, Lord. I repent. We forgive and we pray, God. Say, and this is where our strength is, that humbling. I am a sinner, but Lord, forgive me for my sin. That is where our power is. And we pray, God, forgive those that has sinned against me. I forgive them. I forgive them. That we don't have things, bitterness in our hearts, because that gives an open door for these entities to come. And protection. God, deliver us from evil. God is good and faithful and just, and He will protect us of all evil. Now, I just want to say to you that Satan wants altars and he wants sacrifices. But Jesus says, I'm the sacrifice. I'm the perfect sacrifice. Once and for all. We don't have to do things for Him. We can just say, thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice that He paid on the price. And this morning, we prayed, or Lynette and I prayed, and she just felt God is saying to us that we must take our Isaacs and put it on the altar. And I want to ask you this morning, what is your Isaacs? What is that thing that you say, not that, God? I'll give anything, but not that. What is that thing that you're withholding from God? Because He's saying to us, we must put that thing on the altar. This is where our protection is, where we completely surrender to God. In that place where God says that Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and they sent him to earth. The angels, those angels are here on earth, and now we're stuck with them. And then he says, but they were overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and they did not love their lives unto the end. So we must start speaking and telling the good things about God. The good things. We don't focus on the demons. We focus on the goodness of God. And we start telling the good news of what God has done in my life. And the more we exalt God, the more people's faith gets stirred. And we did not love our lives to the end. What is that thing that you have to put on the sacrifice, on the altar this morning? Because God says, if you love your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for me, you will get it. You will save it. And that is the trick, because there's all of us have this thing that we said, netni detni. And for me, I was sort of forced in that place with Daniel when he was sick that one weekend, and Lynette and I had to put him on the altar. And I knew what it meant. It meant that my son can die. But that was the turning point. So I want to ask you this morning, what is your sacrifice that you must put on the altar, that you must surrender to God? And the other picture I just want to leave with you, there are many people who are sick and they can't get into that bath to be healed, that water to be healed. And they need someone to pick them up. And this man was lying next to that bath of healing for many years. And many of us here are sick and you need to be healed. But there's no one that can help you to come into that water. And I just want to say to the Christians who've been serving God for a while, please help people up to get them into the water that they can be healed. We need all hands on deck. We need people to pray. We need people to help, to share the good things about who God is. Father, I thank you, God, that you are mighty and a powerful God, Lord. Father, I thank you, God, that you've not given us a spirit of fear, God, but of power and of love and of self-control. God, I thank you, Lord, that your perfect love cast out all fear, Lord. And Father, where we are afraid, I just realize that we don't have your love in our hearts, God. And Father, we pray this morning, God, give us that perfect love, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you loved us so much, God. And thank you, God, when you said, all authority has been given to me, that we can understand what that authority means. That we can know that we have overcome all these things, Lord God, in the Spirit, God. We have overcome it. You've given us the ability to overcome all these things in Christ Jesus, Lord. And Father, I pray that you'll open our spiritual eyes and ears, God, that we'll be obedient to you, God, to your still small voice. And God, I thank you, God, that you are the God that heals. You are the God that delivers. That you are the God that saves. That you are the God that wants all people to be saved. And to come to the fullness of your truth, Lord. And Father, we pray, Lord God, for every person who is here. And I pray a wedge around them, God. And I ask you, Lord, to give your angels command regarding them. To protect them in all their ways, Lord. That they will not go through tough things, God, and not be exposed. And not standing in right standing with you, God. Father, we pray, Lord, that you will bring us to that place, God. That all of us will humble ourselves, Lord, and pray and pray all the time, God, and seek your face, God, and seek you to know you with everything that we have, God. And Father, that we will turn from our wicked ways, God. And God, I pray that we will switch off that hello vision, God. Father, that so many things are being entered into the houses, Lord God. So many curses are being released into our houses, God, and we sit with children that must go on Ritalin and all these things because their attention is in different places, God. But it's such a demonic agenda against your people, Lord. But Father, I pray, God, that you will come and heal our lands, Lord. Hear our prayers, God. Heal our land, God. And forgive us our sins in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm just going to maybe ask Robert to do a song. And if you want to respond to my word this morning and you want to just give that altar, that thing on the altar, I want to just invite you to come forward. Just come and pray. If you need prayer, if you need healing, if you are afraid, if there's any fear in your heart, come, let I pray for you. The Spirit of God is here specifically to heal you. if you don't know Jesus, if you've not given your heart to Jesus, and you can see the darkness around you, you see darkness everywhere. You even get dreams, terrible dreams, and you want to be delivered of all of that. I want to invite you to come and that we can pray with you, because God is so much bigger than all these things. God created those angels. He's so much bigger than everything else in this world.
Yes, Lord, thank you that you made a way. You said it is done. There's no more works left on our part. It's just a matter of receiving. And Lord, and as we stand here this morning, Lord, I know that there's still some people that, you know, as you said, you know, there's still some people here who you still need to just step across the line. Some of the stuff that was shared might have been a bit scary for you, but it's only scary when you're standing outside of God's perfect love and perfect will. So the band is going to continue playing in the background. And so if you have to go, if you really need to go, be blessed. Okay, if you want another dose, there's another service tonight. If you just want to get another take two of it, you're welcome to come. There's nothing wrong with coming twice on a Sunday. But if you have to go, you're more than welcome to go. But for the rest of us, let's just spend some more time in the Lord's presence right now. And if you need ministry of any sort, physical healing, whatever it is, please, we're in the fellowship of the saints. We're together celebrating. Come forward. Let us pray with you. Let's stand in faith that the areas and those Isaacs that you're struggling to bring before God right now, that you know, and I mean, amazing word. Because I just want to agree with it. There's some people, yeah, you came here this morning already knowing that there's things that are distracting you, that's on your mind. And now is the time to bring that before God. Amen.